This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's talk about purging communists from America, purging communism specifically from America. Before we do that, I wanted to get to something that's, I guess, kind of related. Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, the FBI leadership, they put out an announcement that the whistleblowers, the FBI whistleblowers, are going to be made whole. We don't have all the specifics yet. We don't know that every single person is going to be made whole, but you don't put out a statement like that unless they're going to be made whole. And hey, how many times have I sat here on the show and criticized the FBI for not bringing them back? I've criticized Kash Patel. Why aren't they brought back? Why aren't these brave men brought back? So if you're going to criticize, better compliment, credit where credit is due. When brave men give up their careers to speak out against the Cheka, they should be rewarded. Rewarded, and that it sounds like they're going to be, makes me a happy man. Congratulations to those brave heroes, those FBI whistleblowers. Now, I want to discuss something about where we are as a country. In fact, it's going to be a central part of this show. I see a lot of this on the right. We don't generally try to use the term woke here. I know I've used it before, but I don't like it. I think it puts a flowery sounding term on the evils, the demonic, destructive evils of communism, of Marxism. But for our purposes right now, we'll use it because I see a lot of people saying woke is dead. Woke is dead. Woke is dead. Stop. We are in a religious war. It doesn't matter whether you want to be or whether you want to acknowledge that. In fact, I'm sorry to say you don't get a say in it at all. It only takes one side to start a war. One side. You don't have to agree to it. If one side decides you're in a war, you're in a war. If someone walks up to you tonight and punches you in the face in a parking lot, whether you wanted to be in a fight or not, it's completely inconsequential. You're in a fight. They are fighting a religious war. The communists all throughout the United States of America are fighting a revolution to burn this country to ash, and it is a religion. And they have not changed their thinking because Donald Trump won or because this is happening or that's happening. They haven't changed their ways. They haven't changed their thinking, not one little iota. They are as committed to burning this country down as they have ever been before. Woke is the furthest thing from dead, but it is afraid. They are really, really afraid right now. Because they are losing ground. Now, what does that mean for us? Here's what it means. Because there's a big mentality shift in we won versus, okay, we're gaining ground. Yes, we may have met on the battlefield and clashed shields and spears, and maybe have broken and run right now, which they kind of are in various ways. But you know what you do when the enemy has broken and run from the battlefield? You don't sit and bang your spear against your shield and cheer with your buddies and slap high five and say we did it. No, you go call in the cavalry to run down the enemy and mow him down like grass on his way off of the field. Now that we have momentum, that we are gaining ground, now we should be more aggressive than we've ever been. More aggressive. Let me ask you, are you going to shop at Cracker Barrel? Are you going to eat at Cracker Barrel? Cracker Barrel for me, I loved it. Well, specifically, my wife loved it. I'm more of a Waffle House guy. I have a harder time getting her into Cracker Barrel, but I love me some Cracker Barrel. I haven't been in a few years. Why? They went all in on the Pride Month stuff. Rainbow rocking chairs, all that stuff. Cracker Barrel just changed their logo. They got rid of the barrel, and they got rid of the cracker. They got rid of the dude in the barrel, and people are wondering, why would you go all gay? Why would you change the logo? Well, here's their CEO.
Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing. I'll give you another soundbite. I actually happened to be in Orlando last week with all of our managers. We bring them together and every other year. And the number one question that I got asked, Michael, was, how can I get a remodel? When can I get a remodel? How do I get on the list?
Oh, really?
So because the feedback and the buzz is so good, not only from our customers, but from our team members. They want to work in a wonderful restaurant. So we're doing everything for our guests and our team members.
Well, Julie Messino, it's wonderful to have you here.
Pleasure to
and
be here.
And thank you for answering those questions for all the Cracker Barrel fans out there. It's a lot of great changes.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Robin?
Can I get in writing that the peg game is going to stay?
The peg game is staying.
Okay.
So are the rocking chairs, fireplace, vintage decor. It's all there.
All right. Okay, because that would be a deal breaker. That would be a deal breaker.
Why does this keep happening? Why do these iconic American brands, iconic American things, I mean, from Bud Light to Cracker Barrel, Hollywood, the university system, the NFL, why the Boy Scouts, why do all these iconic American things continue to be destroyed from within? Well, you saw that woman. You see, these evil communists have been worming their way through our institutions for decades. And they're not all gone now. Just because we're winning, just because we feel good, just because we're deporting illegals, just because the patriotism is on the rise, they're not gone. They haven't changed their ways. They are still right where they were before, and we have to press the issue now. We have to press the fight. And I want to give credit where credit is due, because he does deserve a lot of credit for it. You know, we don't do politician worship. We don't do man worship of any kind on the show. Not Donald Trump, not anybody. But Donald Trump does deserve a lot of credit for being more in your face with these people and showing the right that it's okay to fight back. It's okay to be vicious with them. Honestly, what he's doing with the media, with these lawsuits, is enormous. It is enormous. Don't discount it. The American media, and you know what, let's talk about this CBS 60 Minutes thing specifically here. Because CBS just settled. They settled with Donald Trump. Why did they settle? Why did they settle? Well, what they did was evil, you see. CBS had this iconic show, 60 Minutes. I'm 44 years old. When I was a child, I remember my parents watching 60 Minutes on the television set. I remember the stop clock. I remember. That's how iconic and old 60 Minutes is. But what happened? Once again, evil communists wormed their way through CBS, took over 60 Minutes. Kamala Harris is running for president. She's unable to complete a single coherent sentence, let alone two in a row. She sits down for an interview with CBS. It's so embarrassing that the communists at 60 Minutes chopped up the interview, placed answers where they shouldn't be to make her look better than they did. They outright lied, electioneering on behalf of Democrats. They lied. The Trump administration could have done, Donald Trump himself, I should say, could have done what the low-T GOP has always done and said, well, look at the hypocrisy. Could you imagine if we did that? Or and all these other lame things that have been conservatism for my last 44 years that don't have any effect on the communist at all. But Donald Trump does understand the communist only knows fear and pain. Those are the only things that move him. So if you want them to change their ways, you will never appeal to their morality because they don't have any. You have to give them fear and pain. He sued them. Now they're stroking large checks. That is what we have to do. That mentality, we have to continue. Let's talk more about the media, because the evil people still run it. Let's not forget that for 4 years, the United States of America didn't have a president. We didn't. We didn't have a functional adult as president. Think for a moment, whether you love him or hate him, think for a moment how hard Donald Trump works. His worst haters have to acknowledge his work ethic is amazing. The hours he works, he's always doing something. He's at a summit here, a trade deal there, he's always working all the time. And you know why? Because that's what it takes to be president. When you are the leader of the most powerful country on the planet, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's an all-the-time job. We lasted 4 years with a man who couldn't stay awake without drugs for more than 4 or 5 hours at a time, unable to think, talk, or walk. And he was able to become president and remain president because of the evil communists in the media.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever. Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately and he comes with gravitas.
There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit, and there's a lot of ageism there.
More wild speculation from a bunch of people who have probably never been in a room with Joe Biden and certainly don't have medical degrees that I'm aware of.
You don't get paid for performance to be president. You don't. The job is not a job of endurance. I don't see Donald Trump out bike riding like Joe Biden.
It's the Hillary's email. All they have is that he...
And that is why you're changing the channel. The media burned up the last of their credibility, and we have to continue to light that credibility on fire for friends and family. And it wasn't just the media that burned up their credibility. There are two other entities that really burned up the last of it during Joe Biden's 4 years. Well, and Donald Trump's 4 years. The medical institutions in this country. The lies they told over and over again. Lies they repeated because they insisted that you had to inject yourself with some experimental vaccine. Lie after lie after lie after lie. Remember these lies?
Ivermectin is something more often used to deworm horses.
Rogan telling his 13 million Instagram followers that he was treated with several drugs, and he included ivermectin on the list, a drug used for livestock.
Rogan said the word ivermectin. Yes, that's the deworming medicine made to kill parasites. And
so things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste.
Horse paste. Horse dewormer. Ivermectin has been given to human beings in doses by the billion right when the American media and medical institutions thought that it would somehow fix COVID, which they were trying to use. They went on the television set and told the American people it was horse paste. Out of credibility. The media has lost it. Medical institutions have lost it. And finally, and this is such a blessing, how long in your life have you had to endure the endless race communism from the fake civil rights grifters in the United States of America? I'm oppressed because I'm black. Kill Whitey. All this other crap. Every single day, there's some new scumbag on TV defending the indefensible, attacking this country, attacking our institutions, attacking our history day after day after day after day. And don't get me wrong, all those people are still there. But because these animals couldn't control themselves during COVID, couldn't control themselves during the George Floyd protests, they burned up their credibility too. Remember this?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
Those white guys, those middle-aged, boring, nerdy-looking white guys.
And white people have been probably woefully late to this conversation.
But I'm not willing to let white voters off the hook.
Do you believe that white folks actually care about racial injustice?
It doesn't appear that we do. I mean, the status quo of our society is racism, and it's comfortable for white people.
Well, because we're white, we have had privilege, even the poorest of us.
I sit here as a privileged white woman. I cannot imagine, but I appreciate you educating us.
The most dangerous kind of white privilege is to think that we can sit this justice struggle out.
It's critical for white people, for people in general, to stop denying their racist ideas.
That's why it's time to check our bias at the door and lean into the discomfort that is necessary for real change.
Now, when they try it, people don't look down. People don't back away. Now these people are mocked and ridiculed when they try that crap. Let's continue to press the fight. We are gaining ground. We should feel good. Now's the time to press. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. The great Steve Dace joins us next. Mood. That's a weird thing to discuss, isn't it? Your mood. But here's the truth. As we get older now in this country, we are too depressed. We get down too often. Does that sound like you? Maybe you're just driving home to work, whatever, and you're just kind of down. You know that's because your levels are all screwed up, right? Because we have so many horrible things, mainly in our water supply. You shouldn't be drinking synthetic estrogens, but you are. So what to do about that? Well, you can go get more pills, or you can go natural. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will change your life. It'll certainly change your mood. Maybe you start out every day with some chocolate powder, vitamins and minerals, a little smoothie in the morning. Maybe you take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. I take a male vitality stack every day. Whatever you do, do something about it. Chalk.com/JesseTV.
The Democrat Party is an extremist organization, Sean. It's not a political party in any normal sense of the word. A political party represents Americans. It represents law-abiding citizens. All you see all day long are crazy Democrats screeching on TV on behalf of foreign terrorists, hardened criminals, and violent illegal aliens. A political party exclusively dedicated to protecting terrorists, criminals, gangbangers, and murderers. That's what they become. They had a deadline to comply with federal law and hand over the criminal illegal aliens in their custody. And so now they face not only revocation of funds, not only the loss of taxpayer support, but also potential criminal charges for harboring and smuggling. This is as real as it gets, Sean. The Department of Justice laid out to these mayors how they were breaking our laws, and they refused to change their policy, and Attorney General Bondi is going to see this thing through to the end.
Okay. I hope. Joining me now, my cynical friend, host of the Steve Dace Show, Steve Dace. Steve, you wrote a piece, great piece at The Blaze called No Perp Walks, No Peace. I guess I'll just kind of hand the show over to you for a few minutes. What are you talking about?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I think Stephen Miller, I'd pay admission to watch him message. He is a freaking Terminator. And everything he said there was gospel truth, I believe. It's the last line he said, I'm unsure of. Pam Bondi is going to follow through on this. I got the Steve Carell, yikes, gif going. We'll see. I hope he's right, because he's right about everything else that he said. But as to your question, my friend, we have two primary objectives on the American right that we have to accomplish if we have any hope whatsoever of sustaining our civilization, barring divine levels of great awakening kind of revival that we saw in century past. Number one is our red states, and you and I have talked about this over the years many times. Red states, like where you live in Texas, have to be every bit as red, at least as the blue states are blue. We are finally starting to make some of those moves, what you've seen DeSantis do in Florida, what our governor, Kim Reynolds, has done here. What's going on in your state right now, where we're going to gerrymander even just as hard as they do in some other places, that needs to happen. That's just the beginning steps of what that means. But we're at least somewhere on that path. The second thing we have to do, though, and I know that you're harping on this a lot, and you're right to do so, we have to create mutually assured destruction deterrents in our system. Since we're no longer united by a social compact, we are not an e pluribus unum anymore. The Constitution is a dead letter. It's an impediment to the American left. They have filed for divorce. They're trying to now use the courts to take our kids, quite literally, and leave us with nothing, leave us bankrupt. All right? And since we are living with them in this landmass, and there's no immediate way around that, then we have to create, if we're not going to be bound by love, then we're going to have to be bound by mutual fear. And if you go back to the Cold War with the 80s, the main reason for the arms race under Reagan is because in the 70s, the U.S. was so weak that some of the crazies in the Kremlin began thinking they could actually win a nuclear war, that they could push a button first and we would surrender rather than push back. And Reagan wanted to send a message to them, no, we will send it to you. You may win a nuclear war, but congratulations. All you are now is king of a radioactive anthill where the Earth once stood. And that created a mutually assured destruction deterrent. We don't have that right now. like Cash Patel going on Fox News last night and to say, hey, we've got evidence that the entire Mar-a-Lago raid was unlawful, Jesse. Well, you know, listen, if it wasn't lawful, then it was unlawful. And people that do unlawful things are called criminals. You're the head of the FBI. Arrest them. We have to show you do not get to put our people in prison for praying. You do not get to try and take $500 million away from a presidential candidate. You don't get to try to, you don't get to raid him in the dead of night like you're some kind of, you know, KGB agents. You don't get to do these things without stiff punishments and penalties. When we have the power, we will do this to you and your interest just the same. Without that mutually assured destruction deterrent, then we have no hope of sustaining our way of life, short of the kinds of chapters in history books that, frankly, guys like you and I don't want to see, because we're too old to be fighting those chapters, Jesse. It's going to be our sons that are going to have to go out there and do it in our place. We don't want to subject them to that. And in order to avoid that, then, we have to deploy mutually assured destruction. We must punish our enemies when they're wicked. We must.
So, Steve, will we? Because this is my problem. I mean, everything you just said is completely on point, as per usual. But, you know, you mentioned Texas. We had these Democrats violate the law, flee Texas, and for a solid week, every Republican from our governor on down made every threat under the sun. We're going to imprison you. We're going to fine you. We're going to vacate your seat. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they came back and not a single threat was followed through upon. I am told that there are all these indictments coming. Everybody from J.D. Vance on down's on television saying when it comes to the Russia hoax stuff, indictments are coming. Indictments are coming. I anticipate a lot of indictments. I am not naive. I understand these things take time, but when?
So I actually have a bit of a different spin on what happened in your home state, because I have such low regard for the Texas Republican Party that I actually think this was a win, because they actually got something out politically of this process. Now, they're still fighting yesterday's war. I mean, leveraging the wickedness of our opponents for a political outcome is a, you know, 2005 called and wants its tactics back, all right? But your state, brother, your state GOP wasn't even doing 2005 tactics until like a month ago. I mean, you have the governor who issued the emergency proclamation at the border 2 years ago, and then, anyway, YOLO, I mean, and then did what? Nothing. Issued an emergency proclamation at his own border and then just was like, all right, hey, man, I mean, the Grand Prix is in town. I mean, Texas football, hook 'em. I mean, I did nothing. So the fact that they at least got a political, an advantageous political outcome out of the bluster is actually a step in the right direction, I would argue, for your state. Now, again, it's nowhere near where this has to go, but considering that you live in a state where the Republicans believe they have an obligation to share power in the legislature with Democrats who statewide are not any level of presence in your state whatsoever. So to at least get this out of them is a baby step here. So I actually, because my expectations were lower than even yours, I was surprised they even were able to follow through on this.
Steve, I was talking in the opening about how we are in a religious war. I hate this term that woke is dead. I despise it. I know they are afraid, and I know they are a little bit on the run right now. We're gaining ground, but they're not dead because the devil isn't dead, and the people don't get a say in whether or not they choose to fight this religious war, whether they have a religion or not. The communist does, and he will fight it until his dying breath. He will.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think that there were some comments made earlier this week from a guy I have an immense amount of respect for, and Larry Arn over at Hillsdale. Now, he's the head of Hillsdale College, which was founded on Christian principles and values right there in its charter. And for whatever reason, I have no idea why, that we're going to have some like post-Enlightenment era debate about what does it mean to have a Christian nation where you have all these different Christian denominations and sects, and they don't all agree with everything, and they've been fighting each other, you know, since the Reformation in battlefield. So how do we have liberty and tolerance? Dude, again, you're either too early for that conversation, Larry, or it's too late, all right? 40,000 Muslims. Dear, I don't know how much your audience knows the geography of Michigan. I'm guessing as a Buckeye, you don't know much about it. All right. But Dearborn, Michigan, the suburb of Detroit, is barely an hour from where Hillsdale College is. And 2 days before Larry Arn made these comments, 40,000 Muslims just walked right across Larry Arn's front lown, Jesse, to go down to downtown Dearborn and declare fatwa and Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet and sing the praises of Sharia law in a scene that looked like it was downtown Cairo, downtown Tehran. No, it was a suburb of Detroit, Michigan. Folks, we don't have time for the arguments about how we live together and how much we invoke our religion and faith in our institutions, because they're using our institutions to invoke their religion and faith. The era, it's not the 18th century, it's not the 17th century, the esoteric philosophical debates coming out of the Reformation, and now we have democratic processes for the first time, and what's it mean to have individual liberty and yet an all-powerful God? Folks, we can't agree on what God is. This is more like when Charles Martel and the Pope got together to form the Holy Roman Empire, because the Muslims just took Vienna and they're a block away from Paris. That's the era we're in right now. Know what time it is. And if you do not know what time it is with the Islamists, then we're doomed. And if the head of Hillsdale College doesn't get it, which is maybe the most important scholastic institution our side has left, then I can't even imagine how few of our actual thought leaders understand where we are.
Steve, as always, my brother, thank you. I appreciate you. All right. Tim Burchett, the great Tim Burchett's going to talk about the intelligence community. Are we getting rid of the filth there? Next. I am proud of my cell phone company. Is that not an odd thing to say? Are you proud of yours? I'm proud of Pure Talk. I'm proud that as they've grown, all these new customers, people choosing the patriotic mobile company, they still love the country. They haven't succumbed to all the endless commie garbage. It's still all about America. Maybe because their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. I don't know, that they hire Americans. They charge us way less. When they give back, and they do give back, it's always the veterans, getting veterans back on their feet, making sure they're taken care of. Remember Independence Day when they sent out American flags to veterans you could nominate? I'm very proud of my cell phone company. I'm happy to be a customer. I brag about them. You brag about yours? Switch to Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Make the switch. It's fast and it's easy, and you'll be proud too. I really can't believe that for 44 years I have lived with small government, limited government conservatism as a guiding principle for me, because government sucks, therefore government should be small. And we're finally getting some shrinkage in the government, and it's from a New York Democrat. It's amazing how effective Donald Trump and this administration has been. I'm a big fan. Anyway, Tulsi Gabbard's cutting our intelligence community down by 50%, which sounds like a good start. Joining me now, a better start, is a great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Tim Burchett. Tim, I can't believe that we're actually reducing the size of government. It's amazing. It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah, this is what I voted for. And Tulsi Gabbard is great to do it. She is an incredible competitor. I used to work out with her in the gym, and I hated working out with her because she was always 10 times more fit and better than I was at everything. And if you were doing pull-ups beside her, if you did 5, she was going to do 15. And I hope the other areas of government see this as a challenge and start working towards that, because we do need a reduction. I mean, the corruption that's involved in the department that she oversaw is beyond belief, but really the only way you're going to get it out is just get rid of the people. And she's done that.
She has. I hate working out with people like that. I always feel so fat and weak. The question is, now that we're finally getting rid of some of these filthy communists that have filled up our government, how do we stop the next Democrat or people around him, if it's an invalid like Joe Biden, from just bringing a bunch more of these people back? Can we get rid of the floodwaters and put up floodgates?
I think we can, but what we got to do is get more than 12% of the population to vote. You know, that's the problem we've got, is nobody votes, and we all sit here and gripe about it. We've got to take our country back. That's why a lot of my colleagues won't go on some of the liberal TV stations. I'll go on them every dadgum time. Fight. We're on the side of right. It's a simple message. It's to do what's right, do what we're elected to do, remove the corruption, give everybody a shot in America. I don't see that. That's unbeatable.
Are you still invited on CNN? Every time I turn on social media, you're there throwing some guy in the Hurt Locker. Are they still letting you back?
Oh, yeah. And they, I mean, they see it. You know, they can't just keep going down that path forever. and they see that there's more of America that thinks like we do than they're allowing. So yeah, they got to have somebody on there.
All right, let's talk about this Russia hoax, Russiagate stuff, because in all seriousness, it's hard to put words in how frightening it is that the intelligence apparatus, domestic and foreign, of this country chose to begin electioneering on behalf of Democrats and attacking the Republican nominee and then Republican president, using the CIA and FBI as if it's the DNC. I mean, these are crimes for which you should be buried under the prison. That's how bad and dangerous that is for a country. And we've heard a lot of talk on TV, Tim, about people are going to be indicted, people are going to go down, but it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Is it?
I don't think so. I really don't. We've heard that before. I mean, these are the same people telling you that Obama was going to be kicked out of office because he wasn't born in America. You know, it's the same old stuff. We don't have the guts to follow through with it. Do I wish we would? Yes, I do. You commit treason, you ought to be led out of the Capitol in handcuffs and lead cuffs. There should be no compromise there. But I think we got to force it on them. We got to force Congress. They all talk tough, but when they get home, and when they get home, they all talk tough at the Reagan Day and Lincoln Day and MAGA dinners. But when they get to Washington, they sell you out. So let's hold them accountable, both parties.
Can you explain for those of us who aren't stuck in that dump where you have to live now, not Tennessee, of course, can you explain why? Why do we get sold out? I mean, they sound good on the campaign trail. The commercials look great. As you mentioned, you show up at the Lincoln Day dinner and it sounds like we've got the second coming of, you know, Hercules up there. But now nothing. Why do they always let us down?
And they're compromised. They don't want to rock the boat, ultimately. They don't want to upset the apple cart. I feel like a lot of people really want to do good for our country, but really, most of them just want to stay in power. And whether that's at which end of the fertilizer train they're at, I don't know. But to me, I'd rather kick somebody's butt. But I'm afraid I'm few and far between. So it's human nature. You know, until you got to figure these K Street lobbyists, they've invested a lot in a lot of these people. And, you know, it just goes down. You can just follow the money, brother. Just follow the money.
Gosh, that is so disheartening and crappy. Well, at least D.C. is getting the crime situation under control. Democrats, they're flailing right now badly, and it has to be at least in part because they're the open pro-crime party now. They're fairly open about it. It's wild to watch.
Yeah. Well, you see a bunch of white liberals up there protesting the intervention of the National Guard and law and order, and then you see a bunch of poor black folks that are really suffering under this system that is horribly stacked against them. A friend of mine in the FBI one time years ago told me, in the inner city you find some of the best people and they're held hostage by some of the worst people. I think that's what you're seeing in this situation. These protests, all of them look like me. Yet none of them live in the inner city of D.C. Let's just call it as we see it. When I was on, and this is, you can document this. Go back and watch the hearing and oversight that we had on crime in D.C. What did you have? I believe it was six white men up there telling us there wasn't any crime. And you saw all the neighborhood activists sitting behind them. And they were all black folks. And I called them out on it. I said, why are there only white people up here? Where are all the black folks? And you could see them nodding their head. And I even had a very prominent member of the Democrat Party and the Congress, after it was over with, caught me out in the hall and thanked me for what I said because he said it needed to be said.
Appreciate you very much, Tim. Come back soon. All right. One thing we don't discuss probably enough is how infiltrated we have been by a foreign power. China in particular. How pervasive is the Chinese influence in this country? We'll talk to Stephen Mosier about that next. I love sleeping. Sleeping is one of my favorite things. And I know, look, I've always been this way. When I was a kid, what kid is like this? You know how kids will fight to stay up? I used to just go to bed. I used to tell my parents, I'm going to bed. That's how much I love sleeping. And that's why I love Dream Powder from Beam so much. Because as you get older, the aches and pains in your body, the stresses of life, it doesn't come as easy as it did when you were 10 years old and you just passed out for 10 hours at a time. But Dream Powder will bring those days back for you naturally. Have a cup of hot chocolate tonight before bed. Special hot chocolate with Dream Powder. It's got reishi and all kinds of magnesium, all kinds of things in it, natural things that'll have you sleeping like an itty-bitty baby, and more importantly, waking up rested and refreshed like you used to when you were a little kid and you knocked out for 10 hours. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We cannot forget that there is a foreign element to all the evil we see in the United States of America, specifically China. China has been working very hard for a very long time to infiltrate and infect this country, and they have done so successfully in many, many ways. Joining me now, Stephen Mosier, author of the wonderful book, The Devil and Communist China, who knows way more about this stuff than I do and probably more than you do. Okay, Stephen, let's talk about COVID in particular. It's wild how we talk about COVID in a million different ways, but we never seem to lay the blame where it should be.
And the blame should be right on the People's Liberation Army's bioweapons program, whose experts were developing COVID and other bioweapons. Actually, quite frankly, Jesse, we don't know about yet, but unfortunately, we're probably going to find out in years to come, that not just target the general population, but for several years, they've been working on bioweapons that target people of specific ethnicities. Now, you can imagine that they would not be targeting people who look like them, perhaps targeting people who look like you and I. But that's one of the goals of China's bioweapons program. And we have foolishly, of course, as everyone knows by now, under Anthony Fauci, funded the program and gave them the technical means to actually achieve these kinds of bioweapons. COVID came from China. It hit China really, really hard because it got out of the lab and they weren't ready for it. And then it hit us almost equally hard, destroying our economy for a year. Thank God that Donald Trump was in office during the first part of COVID. Had Biden been in office when COVID was released, the economic devastation would have been much, much worse.
Explain why it would have been worse if Biden had been there.
Well, Biden thought that he could cajole China into cooperating with us to control COVID. He was looking to China for guidance on how to deal with COVID. And of course, China was giving you just the wrong guidance, right? Everything China told us to do, from putting elderly people on respirators that actually didn't help them but killed them, to using failed vaccines, to social distancing, to we got all of these measures. We borrowed them from China, and Biden would have gone all in with China because he was, of course, as we know, the Manchurian candidate. He and his family had been in business with China for a long, long time. So I think I'm grateful that Trump was there at the beginning. And of course, Trump is ensuring that China is on a glide path now towards its own destruction, economically and socially and politically. We see that happening in real time.
Could you expand on that, the destruction of China? Because very smart people who know that country say they are on some very shaky ground. We like to think about them like the great big red dragon who's surely going to overtake us at any moment, but things are a little rocky over there, right?
Things are really, really dicey. Some people have been saying, you know, why did Trump give China another pass on tariffs? Because the tariffs were set to expand, increase on August 12th. He gave him another 90 days. Why did he do that? Well, I can tell you why he did that. He's the ultimate big picture guy. He sees that China's dream of world domination is collapsing around its ears. Even though the tariff war is on hold, first of all, China's being squeezed right now in other ways. We've got this de minimis tariff exemption. The little packages from China, which were previously not tariff, they're all gone now. That's hundreds of millions of dollars out of China's coffers. The rules of origin circumvention, where they send products to to some other country like Cambodia and Vietnam and then transship it to here. That's all gone. Europe and others are putting holes on China's cargoes and inspecting them for the first time. That's shutting down China's export economy. Its strategic plan is failing. This is really very interesting, Jesse, because they were lighting fires everywhere, right? They wanted Cambodia and Thailand to fight. Thailand is a U.S. ally. Cambodia is a client state of China. Trump settled that war. They wanted India and Pakistan to fight. India's a member of the quadrilateral quasi-alliance with us. Pakistan's a Chinese client. Trump settled that war. They wanted Iran to attack and destroy Israel. Trump settled that war. Iran has now been neutered, and its proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, are on their heels. So all of these conflagrations, all of these fights that China wanted to start through proxies have been settled, except one, of course. We're still waiting on Ukraine, but my money's on Donald Trump. You know, he's settled a half dozen of these conflicts already. Ukraine is a tough nut to crack, but if anyone can do it, he can do it. And then what happens? Well, Ukraine's pseudo-alliance with Ukraine's conflict with Russia is over. Russia's pseudo-alliance with China is over. And instead of using Russia against the United States to deplete our munitions and disperse our forces, all of a sudden China has to face a united West alone. So its whole strategic plan now is failing and in shambles. And finally, its economy is collapsing in real time. I just saw numbers that one-third of the medium and large businesses in the country of China are losing money every day. This means that many are not paying wages and bills on time and sending the entire economy ever closer to collapse. Think about the ripple effects on the supply chain. You've got a third of the companies still ordering goods, can't pay for them, still employing workers, are delaying paying the wages. The ripple effects down through the economy, down through the supply chain, are getting very, very close to collapsing the economy as everyone defaults. And to show you how desperate the government is right now, there are now banks in China where the local police, the local authorities, are stealing the money out of the banks from people who deposited the money there. They're simply closing the accounts and taking the money out of the account, stealing directly from the people. Now, we have debanking in the United States, which is bad enough, right? Shutting down Donald Trump's accounts, forcing him to move his money elsewhere. Think about it in China. They not only shut down your accounts, they steal the money out of your account so you have nothing left. That is a system of government that is near collapse, that is turning the entire country against it.
That's freaking wonderful. Problem is, they're also turning our countrymen against us because they make our movies. They most definitely are in the university system, and they're deep in our university system, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Harvard, Yale, Stanford. I have a couple of advanced degrees from Stanford. Stanford has taken enormous amounts of money from China, and they have set up programs that put China in a very positive light and have miseducated the last 30 years of their students about the nature of the China threat. So, yeah, they've been on the wrong side of this issue. I think the foreign students from China, quite frankly, ought to be all sent home right now. I don't think they belong in American universities. We're educating them at great expense. American taxpayers are paying for the education of a group of communist elite, and these are not ordinary people anymore. In the 1980s, when the first Chinese students came over, Jesse, they were ordinary people. They were just trying to look for a better life, trying to get an advanced degree. The people coming over now, the students coming over now, are the sons and daughters of the Communist Party members of the communist elite. We shouldn't be educating Xi Jinping's daughter as we did at Harvard University. We shouldn't be educating the members of the communist, the princes and princesses of the communist elite who control hundreds of millions of dollars stolen from the Chinese people. It's something that's gone awry, and we've got to stop it.
Well, no doubt you're right. Stephen, thank you, as always. I appreciate you very much. That is amazing. We let the daughter of Xi Jinping come attend the most prestigious university on the planet. It's friggin' suicidal. Anyway, we're not done. We got more. remember that they are afraid. The communists are afraid. They are watching as everything they seized is beginning to crumble in their hands. But now is not the time for mercy. Now is certainly not the time for complacency. Now is the time to press. Now is the time when your enemy is drowning to toss him a cinder block and not a life preserver. We have an opportunity here, if we press, to make generational gains that our children's children's children will benefit from in this country. We have the animals on the run. Let's make sure we rout them. All right. Do it again.